So in this episode of Press Record, it's going to be a solo episode, just me talking to you about a few topics that have been top of mind lately. And towards the end of the episode, we're going to do a Q&A. A few of you submitted questions I posted on my Instagram story. I'm going to tackle those here, discuss them. It should be a fun little episode, but yeah, let's jump into it. So first, I want to talk about overcoming creative blocks. Now, over the last week or so, I've been feeling a little bit of creative burnout. So what exactly does this mean and how does it manifest itself? Well, it's a little bit of a lack of motivation to go out there and create. Going through the motions of work, yes, that is fine, but there's not that desire to just build something new from the ground up. And this happens on occasion. There are times where you sit down and you say, hey, this is a good day where I want to get XYZ done, and it just doesn't come to you. And what I want to get across here is that it's okay to feel that way. You don't need to every single day sit down at your desk or wherever you get your work done and feel that it's going to be a day of creation or a day of top tier work. It's okay to accept that, hey, maybe this is a slow day. Maybe this is a day that I don't have 100%, but hey, I can bring 75% and do a pretty good job at that. And so over the last few weeks, I've been having this exact thing happen on certain days where I sit down at my desk right here where I am recording this episode, and I think, hey, maybe today's just not my full-fledged, let's give it everything day where we're creating something new, we're developing projects, we're coming up with script ideas for YouTube videos or podcasts like this. Maybe it's okay to go through the motions and let myself rest a little bit. And that's been something I've been trying to accept in this phase of my life, accept that it's okay to have those rest days, to have those days where you might not have it all in the creative sense of things. And the key here that I want to get across is that these creative roadblocks or motivation burnouts, they're common. They do happen. It's not something we need to spend our time stressing about too much. But what we can do is spend our time thinking about how can we tackle these and how can we deal with them so that we either have them less or that we're coping with them appropriately when they pop up. Now, I read an interesting story about one way to kind of deal with burnout or creative roadblocks in your journey. And it's a story about Alfred Hitchcock, who was the director of big time movies. We're talking Psycho, Vertigo, all of these major, major movies from the past. Alfred Hitchcock directed those. And he said that when he was working with his co-writers, they often came up across these times of struggle when they were writing, where they couldn't quite get it. They were up against a wall. And so when they hit these creative roadblocks, they'd often get into arguments about the script and they would start yelling at each other. And it just created a lot of frustration and negative energy in the writer's room there as they developed these ideas, which is not what you want when you're coming up with something creative. So out of nowhere in these writer's rooms, Hitchcock would just start telling a story completely different than what they were talking about. So let's say they're in the middle of developing the script for Psycho, kind of that horror film. Say they're in the scene where the knife is coming towards the shower. Boom, they get in an argument, creative roadblock, can't figure out where to go. Hitchcock comes in, starts telling a story about walking along the beach, something random, just a total mental shift up. And it always seemed random at first. The writers would be like, what is he doing? Why is he talking about this now? But what he was doing was intentionally taking the focus off of their mission at hand, removing stress from the situation, and then allowing them to kind of recalibrate and center back on the task at hand. And so if you're feeling stuck, this story kind of tells you that, hey, it's okay to take a break and do something else. In the long run, it actually may be better and may allow you to complete your work faster because you're overcoming this roadblock by mixing it up and then going in with a fresh slate. So something cool that a big time famous successful person used when they hit creative roadblocks, just like many of us do. I read a few other anecdotes about people and what they do in creative roadblock times, and one was talking about giving yourself a constraint. So apparently Dr. Seuss used to do this when he was writing his famous children's stories. He liked to give himself a starting point for when he sat down and began writing. And this can be one of the hardest times to start a creative venture, is when you first sit down, you're staring at a blank screen or a blank notepad or whatever it may be, and you're thinking, all right, how do I go forward from here? How do I even begin? And so what Dr. Seuss would do, and he did very specifically on his famous book, Green Eggs and Ham, is he said, okay, I'm going to write this story in 50 words. He gave himself a constraint to get it started. Didn't mean this is how it had to end up, but it's how he wanted it to begin. So he said, okay, 50 words, I'm going to write the entirety of Green Eggs and Ham. And from there, he was able to get something on paper, work on the edits afterwards, and develop it into the story that we all know and love today. So another cool anecdote of someone who was very successful hitting roadblocks or hitting the beginning and struggles of a creative venture and finding a way to overcome it. Both of those, changing up the situation or giving yourself a constraint. These are super, super important parts of the process. And so I did some digging too and thought about what are things that I do in these moments of creative roadblocks to help myself overcome these difficult situations. And it's something that I've been doing recently because, as I said, I've been in a little bit of a burnout phase where I've been working really hard at the beginning of the year. It's kind of those winter, dark, cold months. So it's a good time to just get cranking on new clients, new projects, creative development, starting this podcast, for example. And so, yeah, as we enter into the spring season, I'm feeling a little burnout. I want to be outside in the warm sunshine, the nice weather. And so it's hard to sit down and stay motivated. And so I thought, okay, what are the things that I do to overcome these moments? And the first thing I realized is you want to acknowledge the roadblock and tell yourself, hey, it's okay. I, many times when I've encountered these moments, have thought to myself, geez, you know, why am I not feeling motivated right now? Why don't I have my normal vigor to create? And I've started to accept it and say, hey, maybe I'm just a little bit tired. Maybe I'm a little overworked, and maybe it's okay to go through this moment of rest or this moment of a little bit less production than normal. And then I've told myself, hey, why don't we actually take a chance to rest and soak into this moment and give ourselves, our brains, our bodies a moment to just kick back and relax? And so I've started to do this too. I've started to rephrase these moments in my brain as a, hey, listen, this isn't a failure or a lacking. It's actually an opportunity for you to be productive. Resting, taking a nap, or even just going for a walk or working out, that is productive. That is allowing your brain to go from this kind of tired state back into the elevated productive state and work your way out of the roadblock. If you try to fight through the roadblock, you're actually, while you may think you're being productive, you're actually not being productive because you're not giving yourself a chance to rest. So this is one of the big lessons that I've been trying to internalize and tell myself when I hit these moments of burnout or creative roadblocks. And again, just a few other things that I like to do in these times is things like changing my environment. So if I'm spending many weeks on end working here in my home office, and I'm starting to lose kind of that sense of drive in this space, or it feels a little bland, sometimes I take my laptop over to a coffee shop and I'll do some writing there or some creative development there, or I'll head out into a park and try to do it there. Of course, season dependent for that. Or maybe I'll go outside for a walk and get active or hit the gym and work out. And I've found that after doing these things, my mind is so much clearer. And so many people say this and it feels obvious, but sometimes it's hard when you're in that roadblock state to actually act on this and go out and make these changes to your environment and your mental space. And so they make a huge difference there. And one of the final things that I like to do when I'm in these creative roadblock states is consume books, YouTube videos, movies, television, music, things that can reinvigorate my inspiration. For anyone who's a video editor that's listening to this, one thing that I love to do when I'm stuck, when I have a bunch of footage, I know I need to turn around and edit, but I can't figure out what it is that's going to get me inspired to make that actual edit. Sometimes I just start digging through music that gets me excited, music that could work for the background of whatever video I'm creating. And suddenly when I find that right song, it's like the edit comes to me. It comes to me because of the song that I found, and then I can start cranking it out with ease. Really, it feels like the song draws the edit out of me. Do any of you have this? I'd love to know. Shoot me a DM on Instagram. if you've experienced this, where a song pulls you out of your creative roadblock. Works super well for me as a video editor, and I wonder if for other professions, for writers or artists, if they experience this too, if there's some sort of content consumption that lets them break out of a creative roadblock and turn it into something bigger. I'd be super, super curious about that. Let me know, because it does actually work for me. But yeah, so that's my little spiel on creative roadblocks. I hope that you can pull at least one tidbit from that to try to break out of the burnout phase whenever you're in it, and try to let yourself know that it is okay, it's common, and you can escape it by letting yourself rest and knowing that that rest is a form of productivity and it will make a difference moving forward. So again, my spiel on creative roadblocks. And now we're going to move on to answering your questions, viewers' questions that came in from Instagram. We had a couple really fun ones that we will dive into of varying topics. But to kick it off, we have something from Noor Javan. I'm sorry if I'm totally butchering that pronunciation. And Noor Javan asks, how do you grow on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at the same time? Now, this is a huge topic of discussion as of late. So for anyone in the social media space, or really any business who's trying to grow using all of these platforms, it's a big question. How do you grow on them all at once? Well, the first thing I would say is we're in a really, really nice time for this. And the reason for that is because all of these platforms are actually calling for very similar content right now. Short form vertical content is still king. Now, of course, places like TikTok and obviously YouTube are emphasizing longer form content now. This is new. YouTube has always been this way, but TikTok is newly asking for this. But I'd say that it's still not king there. It's the short form vertical that's king. And so if you create short form under 60 seconds vertical content that is educating, it's enticing, it calls for conversation, it has a call to action, you can post it on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube Shorts. You can post that same piece of content across all of these platforms and see what is working in different places. If one content style is working on YouTube Shorts but not on Instagram, then you make a shift on Instagram in how the content looks, how the caption feels. You keep that style going on YouTube Shorts, but you change it up a little bit on Instagram. So it's a really good time to just try posting everywhere, see what works on each platform, and then make the shift as you need. The other thing I'd say is constantly check and try trends. That makes a big difference, especially on TikTok and often on Instagram, is if you see what is trending and kind of cater your content towards that trend while fitting your brand, your business, whatever it may be. So I would say give that a try. In very short, the TLDR for this is post everywhere, see what works, and put one piece of content to use by uploading to multiple different sites. So that would be my advice to grow on all of the platforms right now. The next question comes from a good buddy of mine, Luke Bakanowski, and he says, is it true that A-Rod won't come on the podcast because I have more World Series rings? The answer is yes. We've put the request in with A-Rod, and he hasn't gotten back. So I don't know if it's because he's only got one World Series ring, but we'll leave that up to his discretion. We'll have to see. Time will tell on that one. If we get him on here, then we can reverse that. We can delete this episode and remove this little bit just so he doesn't have to hear it. Next, we've got a great question from Andrew Peridot, who asks, what did you find the best when outreaching for new clients? So it's a question about client outreach and client acquisition. So this is something that I've been really exploring a lot, especially with my business partner, Kevin, in our creative agency, Unprecedented Media. We've been trying to figure out what is the best way to reach out to clients, to onboard new clients, and to basically get our business into other people's hands so we can help more people. And something that we've really found to be useful is Instagram DMs, just reaching out with our Instagram platform and asking brands if they need any assistance or how we can provide help for them. And we've seen this work a number of times where brands will say, you know, love what you guys are doing. I like that you reached out. Let's jump on a call and see what we can do. This is working. This has worked, I would say, three, four, five, maybe more times. A lot of times you get no response or you get pushed to kind of an automated message. But if you every night shoot out 5, 10, 15 cold DMs, you never know what could come your way. So totally a great way to try to get new clients, to try to build some conversation, build your network is Instagram DMs. I think it's still an underrated place. And one thing you can do here is also try using voice messages or video messages to add a little personality to these cold DMs. So it's not just a text. It is more than that. It's your voice. It's a video. So a really, really nice opportunity there with Instagram. I've also seen that cold emails work really well in this space too. Basically, giving your spiel, your pitch, maybe add a nice designed PDF that shows the work you've done, you know, how you've helped brands grow if you're in the social media space, or maybe if you're in the video space, how you've helped business grow because of the video content you've provided for a small business. This is all great, great options here for outreach. And finally, I don't see anyone really doing this anymore, but we, with a few of our clients, have seen this type of thing work is a cold business walk-in. So if you actually walk into a small business in your area and just have a conversation with them in person, people just don't do this anymore, and it can go a really long way in client acquisition. So worth a shot if you're feeling up to that. And finally, just talking to your network and leveraging people you know, asking if they need help. So for example, in the video space, many of my clients are just folks that I know because of my network. So, you know, my sister put me in touch with someone, or a friend put me in touch with someone, or a former client put me in touch with someone that turned into new business for me. So that's always going to be the best way to go, because those are warm leads if you're tackling folks within your network to build business from there. The next question we have is from Simply Shamus, which is, what is a good budget-friendly mirrorless camera for beginners? So people are always asking about gear, and mirrorless cameras are the hot ticket nowadays for people wanting to dive into the photography, videography space. Mirrorless cameras really are a great way to get involved for a reasonable price. I have always loved and recommended the Canon EOS M50 Mark I. This is a few years old now. There's actually a Mark II out at this point. But the Mark I you can find online for under $500. It's a really, really great small Canon mirrorless camera. 24.1 megapixels for photos. It can film in 4K and also 120 frames per second slow motion in HD. So it can do everything you're going to need to get started for under $500. And of course, then you can start looking at lenses and accessories. But if you want to just jump in and get started, this is a fantastic starter mirrorless camera. That is the Canon EOS M50 Mark I. So think about that one. I can add that into the show notes below if you want a link to that to check it out. And another question that came in relation to that is, what is your favorite camera? And right now, it's the camera I'm shooting on. If you're watching the video of this, it's the Sony a7 III. Again, this is a couple years old now, but I really love it. It was my first jump from Canon to Sony, and it's been everything I could have dreamed of. I use it for almost all of my productions. Sony provides a really great bundle of value here for not a super expensive price. Again, the camera's a few years old, so there are upgrades. Like, I believe the a7 IV is out and other versions of this, but I still think the a7 III is doing everything you're going to need in 2024 and beyond. A fantastic, fantastic camera. And we have one final question for the Q&A portion of this video from the Oleg Savalev, who says, will you make more videos with Kevin on YouTube? So for the Kellen and Kevin fans who might be listening, yes, we will always be making more content. It may not be the cadence that we used to do, where it was a post every day, but there will always be more. We are in business together. We're together all the time. So the content creation train goes on for the K&K fans out there. Stay tuned. I don't know what our next YouTube video is going to be, but I can guarantee you there's more to come, as always. So get excited about that and stay tuned. Well, thank you everyone who's been listening and downloading and sharing the Press Record with Kellen Rack podcast. It's been a ton of fun to make. This is episode 11, which is crazy. I saw some statistic that said like 5% of podcasts make it past episode one, and then 5% of those make it past episode eight, or something crazy, maybe even smaller than that. So I'm really proud and excited to have hit 11 episodes on the podcast and many more to come. We have some fantastic interviews coming up. So be sure to follow along on whichever listening streaming platform you're on, Spotify, Apple Music, wherever. Follow along with the podcast. Be sure to share the episodes that you're enjoying. Shoot me a DM if you're listening and enjoying the podcast. That always helps. And we'll check you back in the next one.